morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, January 24th, 2018. We have another big ship schedule today, 33 vessels. We had a record earlier after that big, terrible weekend weather of 36 ships on Monday, but now we're back up to 33, and that is, I can pretty much say, weather-related. We've had some really just difficult, messy weather out there, big seas, and the Columbia River Bar remains on yellow status, which means that the bar pilots and the Coast Guard are taking a look at the vessels that are approaching the bar and deciding which ones can come across. And they do that on the basis of safety. Not all vessels are created equal, so to speak, and some have more power than others, and some have the ability to maneuver better than others. And so if they have, say, just for an example, an older bulk carrier with not such powerful engines, they might ask that vessel to wait a little bit until, say, it's not an ebb current or a situation or something is happening where the conditions have calmed down, and then they let so they have to pick and choose which vessels can come in. That can create a backlog. It's all in the name of safety. But what happens is that vessels can't leave upriver ports. Vessels can't come into berths because they're not opening up. And some vessels are just simply asked to wait. So here we have 9 inbounders today, 8 in the Astoria Anchorage, 2 in the Rice Island Anchorage, and 14 heading downriver and out to sea. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory. We had one until early this morning. We have a small craft advisory for hazardous seas. We had one for winds early this morning, one for hazardous seas in effect through tomorrow evening. And then we have another small craft advisory resuming at 1 p.m. through Thursday. So this means a little bit of what I was talking about yesterday, one weather system after another kind of barreling through our area right now. And last night, boy, the wind was howling at my house, kind of in the South Slope area of Astoria. The wind, I got a weather station for Christmas, and I put the wind indicator right outside the front door because I thought this is a fairly sheltered place compared to other parts of the hill there. But the wind just blows like mad. It was 20 miles per hour at times last night, blowing like mad. And so I can't imagine what was happening out on the water for the crabbers and other people who are out there fishing. So, and then today we're also going to talk more about earthquakes and why there was no tsunami in that earthquake that happened earlier this week in Alaska. But first, today's ship schedule. We have 9 inbounders. We have the Serba arriving from China, headed for Longview to pick up wheat. She passed Astoria around 6:30 a.m. She could be in Longview by 10. The Atlantic Tramp arriving from Sacramento is headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She could already be there, maybe arrived around 8 a.m. The Federal Island is arriving from Vancouver, headed for the Crims Island Anchorage, which is up off of Mager. It's an island, and there's a designated anchorage there a little bit before you get to Longview. She'll be heading upriver to pick up weed eventually, but she'll arrive. She'll pass Astoria maybe around 12:30 p.m., and you might see her in the Crims Island Anchorage, which I think you can see from Highway 4 there on the Washington side around 3 p.m. The PRT Ace is arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for Astoria's anchorage around 1:30 p.m. She's going to be going upriver to pick up wheat. The ATB Ocean Reliance is arriving from Ferndale. She's headed for Portland. Her cargo is refined petroleum. She's a Crowley Maritime-owned vessel and a domestic U.S.-registered vessel, flag vessel. She'll pass Astoria around 3:30 p.m., see her in Portland around 9:30 this evening. The New Aspiration is arriving from South Korea, headed for Kalama. Could be bringing in steel. She will pass Astoria around 4 p.m. and arrive in Kalama around 9 p.m. The Benfica is arriving from Hong Kong, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. Probably will get there around 6:30 p.m. The African Hornbill is arriving from Russia, headed for Longview for logs, or her cargo, I believe. She'll pass Astoria around a little after midnight, maybe around 4 a.m. on Thursday. You'll see her in the Astoria, in the Longview, port of Longview. And the Petani is arriving from Japan, headed for the Rice Island Anchorage, arriving there around 12:30 a.m. on Thursday. That's right across the river from Astoria on the Washington side, just opposite Tongue Point. Well, we have such a big schedule today that I'm just not going to have time to talk to you about all of it, but I will put it up on the Ship Report website at shipreport.net and later today, and you can take a look at it and see all these ships, including one from Kuwait, I believe, that's on the schedule. So some rather unusual things happening. Okay, we had other unusual things happening this week, and that was a 7.9 earthquake in Alaska. that generated a tsunami watch here and really put people into a state of great anxiety in many cases about what was happening, what to do. And so I wanted to also, it was kind of peculiar. This was a big earthquake by any standard, 7.9. Everybody was holding their breath, wondering if there was going to be a big wave, was at least going to hit Alaska, because it was so close in the Gulf of Alaska there, just south of Kodiak, about 175 miles southeast of Kodiak. So why wasn't there a tsunami? Well, a great explanation appeared on Facebook yesterday from a local geologist named Tom Horning, who you may know. He's really great at explaining things, and he put this out on Facebook yesterday, and I thought I'd share it with you. So thank you to Tom Horning for this. The big earthquake near the Aleutians last night, he did this yesterday, was characterized by strike-slip displacements, which means that the rocks slid horizontally, much like the San Andreas Fault does. Usually little vertical displacement takes place, so there isn't a tsunami. So what that means is that in the earthquakes in which there is a tsunami, some kind of flipping motion or moving motion happens in the water that displaces a large amount of water at once. A big piece of the Earth's crust either flips up or moves in a way that pushes a large amount of water out of the way, just pushes it. So huge amount of force to do this. So the energy from that movement is transferred through the water and becomes the tsunami wave. So in this case, this was a strike-slip earthquake, which means everything's just slid sideways. There was very little vertical or even there was none of that flipping movement that might have caused a tsunami, and that's why there wasn't one. Now, that word subduction we hear all the time, there's some terms in what he's saying here. So strike slip means moving sideways. Subduction in general means one plate moving underneath another when they meet, but they can do this in a number of ways. Sometimes the subduction process has something called oblique convergence, he mentioned, or both dip slip and strike slip characteristics. So oblique convergence means that one or more of the plates is kind of moving at a slant. If that's happening, that could certainly displace water and cause a tsunami wave. Dip slip implies vertical movement. So if something falls under the water and pushes water out of the way in the process, that could generate some kind of movement. So we're sort of attempting to describe a natural phenomenon, which is stuff moving around in a violent way underwater. And the more water that gets displaced, the more possibility there is that there's going to be a tsunami, but maybe not. And so that's why sometimes you see big earthquakes where there is no tsunami, and sometimes you see relatively smaller ones that do create a tsunami. Another factor is depth in earthquakes. If an earthquake is, say, 35 miles underground, it's going to have a different effect on the surface than one that's, say a mile underground. And so those are all factors. So there's, you know, as geologists have to assess in a very quick period of time what's happening and what might happen so that they can put those alerts out on the air and on the internet to us as quickly as possible. Tsunami.gov is the place to look for on that National Tsunami Warning Center page. We'll let you know if anything's happening. A little bit more about something I explained yesterday, but there's been a lot of discussion about it. I've heard people talking about what was a watch yesterday. What does that mean? How panicked should you be? Well, a watch is the second step in a four-step warning alert level process that happens with tsunamis. Information statement is the first one. It just is information. It doesn't mean you should take any action. Even with a watch, which we had, is a watch and wait situation. Here's something happening in a distant place. It may or may not affect us. The advisory is next. Advisory means stay away from the seashore, and a warning means a tsunami is headed our way. So that's a really simple explanation there. And you can read it online on the tsunami.gov website. I hope it helps. You're listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Have a great day.